Stacey and Jay Spoo.
It's Natalie La Rosa, Jeremiah, also in the mix. Somebody on East Coast Radio. KZN's number one hit music station. Hang out, Stacey and Jay Spoo on a Monday. It is the last week of October. Guys, the festive season is just around the corner.
It's here.
But also, last week, also just reminding us that October is Mental Health Awareness Month in South Africa. It's an opportunity to pause, reflect, check yourselves, check your loved ones to see if they're okay. And a big part of that is also to make sure that they are good. You know, you check
genuinely
up on them genuinely, then you check up to make sure that they stay that way. And let's be honest, right? Your life can be heavy, between work, family, finances, and everything in between. It's easy to forget to look after one thing that carries us through a lot at all. Our minds.
Yes, exactly. So today, in the spirit of this month and what we are acknowledging this month, we're joined by Mbali Ntembu Mensa, clinical psychologist, founder and CEO of Turning Point Mental Health Services, to unpack what positive mental health actually means, genuinely means, how to maintain it, because that's also very important, and what small steps we can all take to protect our well-being, not just in October, but every day, and carry it with us. So, Mbali, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Doctor. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to start here. When we talk about positive mental health, what exactly does that mean? Is it just about being happy? Because I'm assuming there's more to it than that.
Thank you so much, Stacey, for having me and your listeners. And of course, you are right. Positive mental health is basically intending to stay in the zone where you make the right decisions. No one can stay happy for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's something that's going to come up and you'll be upset. But I always look at the five pillars that we must incorporate into maintaining a positive mindset. Because obviously, we will face challenges, but maintaining the state of five pillars makes us able to thrive even within the midst of challenges. So the five pillars, I name it, it's the spiritual aspect, the physical aspect, the emotional, mental, and social aspect. If we can tap into these five and make sure that we ask ourselves, what can I do to actually help myself on a daily basis, looking at these five, then you'll find that you are able to maintain a well-being, an optimum, healthy lifestyle.
Shout out, man.
Yes.
Yeah, powerful, powerful thing that you said there. Life will present you with many moments of struggle. It's a matter of just getting through and balancing yourself out. And we hear a lot of the term self-care. It's thrown around a lot. But for someone who's struggling with, you know, balancing work, family, finances, what are the realistic ways to practice self-care that actually make a difference?
Definitely. So self-care, basically, again, is prioritizing yourself. Mm. It's that state of awareness of what do I need at this point and making sure that you attend to yourself. And even if you are going onto the plane, they tell you, take a mask, put it on yourself first before you help someone else next to you. So basically, if I go back to the five pillars again, physically, you check in with yourself. How am I feeling? My body. Make a relationship with your body. Build a relationship by asking yourself daily, what are my activity levels? Because we know, science has proven that if you have a little bit of exercise, then you are able to increase your endorphins, which are your good feel good hormones. You are able also to decrease the cortisol, which are your hormones that are stress hormones. So if you can exercise, then you are able to maintain that state of well-being, mental well-being. You are able to regulate your mood, even your emotions. So that's physical. Again, asking yourself, do I sleep enough? Because you can have sleep hygiene, or you can mess it up. For example, if you are preoccupied by stressors, then you tend to think a lot. And if you using dysfunctional coping mechanisms, then you'll be distracting by staying on your TikTok phone, but not actually helping your body to maintain a state of relaxation. I always say, in that way, if you are wanting to sort out the insomnia part, then you use your five senses, basically. You might ask yourself, what is that? I would use touch. First, go and take a shower, take a bath, just to relax yourself. Use your smell, just to obviously use the lavender oils to breathe in and out. These things help you. But again, if I move on, ask yourself as well, do I have time to rest? Not as in sleep. Do I have leisure activities, things that I like to do? Am I still doing them? When we are faced with a state of depression, anxiety, you find that a person experiences anhedonia, which is a level of decreased activity in pleasurable activities, so which means that one needs now medication. But if you can still have that drive to push yourself, I would say check the leisure activities just by connecting with nature, walking under the sunshine. That also kind of take your mind away from the stressors. Then you go into the social aspect, where it's connecting with your loved ones. Make sure that you belong in a community. It could be a church community, it could be a gym buddies, it could be parents that you are taking your kids to school with. Make sure that you connect. It could be family, friends. That helps us also to fight that sense of being isolated, being alone. Tune into people that are good for you, your circle that is actually supportive and encouraging you. If we move on again to the spiritual aspect, people use prayer, they use worship, they use meditation. That also helps you to connect with your inner being, connect with God, because some instances obviously you don't have control over, but that moment of grounding yourself through prayer, through meditation, also helps. Then we are left with the emotions and thoughts. These two need work. So if you will not pay attention to your thoughts, again, you are actually engaging in dysfunctional ways of thinking. If you will always be entertaining those thoughts, rather, I will tell my patients, engage in journaling. Journaling is a safe outlet where you can express yourself through thoughts. You can then have that outlet where you cry if you want to cry, you vent out those emotions. If journaling does not help, you then revert back to your social circle where you are sharing these thoughts. And I hope these are just helpful on a day-to-day basis to look into, what am I doing for myself?
Powerful.
To care for my body and my mind.
But these are very genuinely very helpful things, Dr. Mbali, because I think also when people speak about self-care, maybe you kind of run to an idea that might feel self-indulgent, right? It's not. It's about being self-aware.
Definitely.
And checking in with yourself, because we are all adults at the end of the day. And if somebody says, do you need help? It would be great if you did need help, but you'd be able to identify what that help might even look like.
Yeah, what type of help you need.
Definitely. Exactly. Yeah. So I know not everyone's like, I have questions. We have more questions for Doc.
KZN's number one hit music station. It is the last week of October, which means it's the last week of mental health awareness. It happens every October, and we are joined by Umbali Mthembu Mansa, clinical psychologist, founder and CEO of Turning Point Mental Health Services, just to give us more insight around how we can better take care of ourselves and those that we care about.
So, Doctor, now for the second part of our conversation, we're going to talk about social media. Right, because everyone's like, now everyone's gonna feel away.
Yeah.
So just take a deep breath. We're gonna do it together. So as we know, social media, just a classic double-edged sword, right? So it connects us, yes, especially when we can't physically get to people for whatever reason.
Advantages,
but we know that it can also deeply affect our self-esteem, and that's pretty well documented. So how can people protect their mental health online without completely logging off and throwing the whole phone away?
Definitely. I think you're right there, Stacey. There are good and bad sides to social media. One, I mentioned before that people might use social media to distract from thoughts, from problems. But now excessive use actually makes people more vulnerable to developing even depression, anxiety. Why? Because you are looking at people who are supposedly are happy and everything is perfect in their lives.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that that is just one snapshot in, I don't know how many seconds of their day. So, which means you have to have a boundary there as well. Remember, when we are talking about boundaries, you as a person need to also create and maintain self and healthy boundaries within yourself to know that, okay, I'm just checking in. I want to know what's going on around, but I have a limit. And once I've exhausted that limit, I then engage in other healthier ways of distracting myself. So social media will create that fantasy that everything is perfect and well and good. And hence it increases levels of poor self-esteem, levels of my life is not good enough compared to the others. So it creates that comparison that a person does not need when they are vulnerable and they are having challenges. So healthier ways, basically time management. Manage your time well. Be aware when you have sat down for more than 30 minutes looking at social media and scrolling through the videos. I would rather suggest that you listen to something positive, you listen to something that will increase your education and awareness levels in terms of teaching yourself how to cope with stress rather than watching people and flipping through those videos. So I would say time management is important in trying to alleviate the time spent on social media
and work on that boundary.
Now, as a guy, right, I have many times attempted to try and have a conversation with my brothers around where they are from a mental health perspective, and I'm not gonna lie, most of the time it's met with awkwardness.
I'm fine, bro.
And in South Africa, there still is a stigma around mental health.
Definitely.
Specifically around with gents.
Yes.
How do we start changing the narrative at home, in a social setting, at work, and even in platforms like this to start having conversations around mental health?
I always say that education is the key. Let us educate ourselves and have that state of radical acceptance. Accepting that we have symptoms that might indicate that a person is not coping well, is feeling overwhelmed, does not necessarily mean that you've reached a bar and you are severely depressed, for example. So the stigma is such that people tend to view mental health or mental illness. I always illustrate by using a ruler. A ruler has numbers from 0 to 30, for example. You would have a condition where it's from 0 to 10. That is your adjustment conditions. I've experienced a death. We expect that you will react to the stressors. So with gents, for example, they might view mental illness or even dealing with emotions from that lens of, if we talk about emotions, if we talk about thoughts, we are basically looking at that number between 20 to 30, which is representing very severe conditions. So to help our male counterparts, it's to also educate ourselves that as human beings, everyone has emotions. Happy emotions, fear, whatever you name it. If you don't experience them, then it means there's something wrong with yourself. So we must move away from that societal expectation that men don't cry. If you cry, if you feel something, then it means you are weak. No, it doesn't. Actually, if you feel something as a male, that indicates you are not okay with something. Take that as an opportunity of learning about yourself, because I spoke about the awareness, internal awareness. You are aware that at this point, at this moment, I'm not okay. I need something. So you attend and you acknowledge your emotions and your thoughts. And that also creates a moment of then identifying how can I address the challenges that I have. So I think then with our males, let us educate them and let us make them accept that it's normal. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to see someone to talk to. It does not necessarily mean that you are now on that severe scale of mental illness.
That was, and again,
so informal,
very colloquially put.
Yeah.
Because I think that everybody tries to, it's like, it's because you are already overwhelmed. You are in a state of being overwhelmed. Now you're trying to calm yourself down and you don't know how to do it. It's okay if you don't know how to do that. That's why people like Dr. Mbali exist, to help you navigate this. Thank you, Dr. Mbali, for your time today. It's been amazing having you here. And for breaking it down in layman's terms so we know what is going on. Obviously, if you would like to reach out, please bear in mind you're in the presence of a clinical psychologist, founder and CEO of Turning Point Mental Health Services. Find them online. Thank you very, very much for your time this afternoon. We appreciate you and your insights. We really, really do.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a lovely afternoon.
You thank too, you, my thank love.
Stacey and Chase Boo.
I'll be by your side.
Weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. East Coast Radio.